Okay, I believe it's recording. Good morning, everybody. I would like to call to order the July 21st special meeting of the Marysville Board of Education in joint session with Marysville City Council. Can I have a roll call, please?
Mr. Ferguson.
Here.
Mr. Katz.
Here.
Ms. Savage.
Here.
Mr. Smith.
Here.
Mr. Vine.
Here, thank you.
Hey, well, actually, we should go to the Pledge of Allegiance at this point.
Before you call, before you do,
yes, yeah.
Okay, well, sure, then we'll stand for the Pledge of Allegiance, please.
I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And again, everybody, welcome on behalf of the City Council of Marysville. And if we could do a roll call, please, for the City of Marysville.
Alan Seymour.
Present.
Donald Berger.
Here.
Dane Burby.
Present.
J.R. Roush.
Here.
Mark Reeves.
Present.
And Deborah Groh and Anne Carpenter are excused.
Okay, thank you.
And so this morning, we're coming back together. We've had a couple of small group meetings, I think you're all aware of. And so the purpose of today's meeting is just kind of to review some of the ideas that we've been discussing in those small groups, and then take questions, comments, follow-up suggestions from everybody here. So with that, I'll turn it over to Diane and Terry.
I think Terry and I are just going to kind of give a broad kind of overview and provide an opportunity for feedback from some ideas that have been generated at the committee. We've met twice, and first and foremost, I think the most important thing that I really see coming out of it is a deeper appreciation for both sides. I think we've really been able to talk about possibilities and constraints and really grow kind of in a better understanding from a school district perspective and a city perspective, which has been really valuable to both sides. I would also say that I, maybe came in even personally with maybe a little bit of fear of how things might unfold, and it's been incredibly collaborative and I think pretty powerful. Really for both. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely.
So we really just want to, really we left this meeting to talk about, our charter was to consider options with the residential TIF and how a potential might be finding some kind of calculation for future levy asks where the school district can potentially recognize additional funds, understanding that there's a debt payment with the city that's required out of that. And the second one was really talking about the EDIP and how we look at the ways in which we incentivize. We have, we're going to talk about some general ideas, but also we have a couple of things in the, I would call the research hopper, that I don't think we'll talk about yet because I don't think we've looked into them enough yet. Let's start with the TIF.
Yeah, if you want me to go ahead.
Yeah, and let's start with the TIF. Yep, go ahead.
I couldn't concur more with Diane. These meetings have been invaluable, and it's going to be very important that we continue these on, because as we evolve over time, you guys know it as well as us, things change, things, and we may have to adjust from time to time, and if our committees, you know, the committee that comes together, if we're able to meet at least at the minimum quarterly, to keep each other up to date on what's happening with each of our entities, that's going to be fabulous for us to, because we may have to adjust. So let me talk first about the TIF compensation agreement as it exists. You know, we talked through it. I believe our committee is interested in bringing a recommendation forward, because we talked about this quite a bit, that if the schools would take action within the next 2 years on a property tax increase levy, that the schools would receive 100% of that increase within the next 2 years. Now, why did we put a a 2-year period on it. Just as I said before, I think there's things can change, and we feel comfortable, and I've gotten a lot of input from Brad, we feel comfortable that over the next 2 years, we believe that we can cover our debt and still allow for any increase in the property tax, 100% of that. Now, there was some discussion on whether there should be maybe a cap to the millage, right? Let's say if the schools decide to do it and
say something outlandish.
Outlandish or 12 mils or more, we would still probably discuss this among our committee meetings to say, you know, how much of that additional would still go to the schools, which we still believe as long as we're able to cover our debt and our payments to cover that debt, we would be comfortable taking that.
And foreseeable challenges.
Pardon?
And foreseeable debt.
Yes, exactly. So that's item number one, and I would open the floor for any questions or input, and if there's any heartburn from anyone.
Or any comments from committee members, something we didn't hit maybe is the first place to start.
Right.
I
feel like that's a good overview of our discussions. I think we did talk about, obviously that 2 year, does that make sense to people? You feel comfortable with that amount of time? Because we have, even before going into the meetings, I know I heard a lot about, we just can't be doing these 30-year agreements anymore. Too many things change, so.
And really, that 2 years is only, it would be the summer of 2025.
Right.
So the schools between now and the summer of 2025, if you pursue a levy,
right,
and that increase, in the
additional
would go to the schools 100%.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You mentioned the TIF, which obviously that has been a debated item. That's more towards the residential side.
It's the residential.
That definitely is more on the negative side for the schools.
Good point, Kane. The commercial side we can't do because a lot of those funds go into the infrastructure of those areas.
But then when we're talking about the abatements, that obviously is entirely different because that's to a great benefit to the school, not so much to the city. So what were the discussions? Residential TIF, that's negative for the school. The abatement, that's positive for the school. So were those items taken in consideration in the discussions?
They were in a sense.
Yeah.
There were two additional bullets. Excuse me. One of the bullets is that this committee agreed to continue meeting when certain projects would come forward. This committee would discuss those projects in the context that Hank is talking about.
Okay.
So in the event a commercial project coming through, the city and the school would sit together in this meeting and discuss.
That's the next topic we're going to talk about.
Okay.
We kind of treated them differently.
Yeah. They're two separate.
The one topic is the TIF compensation agreement. The other secondary topic is economic development and incentives. How we handle those moving forward.
Okay.
We'll get to that in just a second. Okay. So you're ahead of us.
Okay. Sorry about that.
And so the simplified version is we're talking about the TIF compensation agreement. Mm-hmm. We would modify it to allow for, if action is taken by the schools in the next 2 years, mm-hmm. for the 100% of that increase in the property tax or the levy that the schools would go totally to the schools. Now, mm-hmm. it's very likely, you guys, if we're managing and handling our debt coverage, even when that 2-year period comes up, we're gonna have a similar level of comfort moving forward. We just think it's appropriate for us to establish some type of a time period, right? Yes.
Is this an agreement in principle, or would it be like formal action taken to make it that way, like in your way, there are things like,
If this group is comfortable, there will likely have to be formal action because we're modifying the TIF compensation. Okay.
And like I have a, because we had kind of a draft resolution to revise that, so I would guess it would be a similar type of a thing, you know.
So maybe, if this group is comfortable with that approach, we would begin then having our legal teams put together
a resolution,
the modification of the TIF compensation agreement that would outline it in this manner, and then each of the entities would pass it moving forward.
Right.
One small point. School districts used to be able to put an issue on the ballot in August, and that's no longer the case. So could we go past November or go to November 25 with that? Because the only reason you said, you know, we're looking at the summer of 25 and...
Yeah. Excellent point. Is there anybody... from the city's perspective, have any concerns? And Brad, I'll look at you. If we would extend it through the end of 2025, is that okay? Very good.
Yep. Right. Make it 1/1/26, 12/31/25, which
yeah.
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 Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
So just to be absolutely clear, we are discussing the residential tip areas.
That's correct.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Early on in our discussions, it was made pretty clear that it would be not really doable for us to include the commercial tips based on a lot of the work that needs to take place in those commercial tip areas yet on public infrastructure.
That's fine. I just want for everyone to be absolutely clear. Exactly what we're talking about.
Got it.
Right. And just that reminder, we don't generally have too many students coming out of the commercial TIF area, so, yeah.
Any questions on this particular item? We said this, going into this meeting today, you guys, this may be less than an hour meeting. I don't want anybody to feel like we have to sit in here for 2 hours. Okay. We're going to come with some recommendations, and if you guys are comfortable, we'll begin making these adjustments, bring it back to the group for action, and this can happen pretty quickly today. Okay, let's skip, if it's okay, to the economic development incentive process that we'll probably move forward on or recommend to the group that we move forward on in the short term.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I think one of the things that most valuable and what we're going to bring forward is the idea that the school would come to the table earlier in the process, so before a decision was made that this was the compensation agreement, we would have the opportunity to be a part of that conversation, which from our perspective feels really good, honestly, instead of something being handed to you. So I think that would be one thing I would highlight. And as well, I think the decision or our talk ended up really going around the state minimum will be our guiding tool. So
the state formula that is currently used.
And then we would, look at the merits of that company to make decisions how far you move off of that, kind of a middle indicator one way or the other. So we would kind of start in mind with that state minimum before we would move either direction with each company. And the companies would be considered on the merits of what they bring forward. We had some ideas about defining that, but I don't think we're there at this point, but in theory, that would be the concept.
So I think the opportunity here is to just bring the schools in at the earliest point possible and allow the potential developers to sit down with the schools and talk about their project with the city and with our economic development team.
And I would just add, I think that we also discussed the idea that when projects are coming in. We don't want to be looking at this like a competition between the city and the schools, you know, like, oh, you're trying to get more money than we're getting, that we really want to approach it as a team and say what kinds of incentives will be most beneficial to both of us, you know, and try and keep us all as whole as possible and recognize what streams of revenue are important for each of us. So I think that was an important part of the discussion too, because I think that sometimes has come up like, oh, you're just trying to get more money, and like we're just all trying to do the best that we can for our community, you know, obviously starting with ourselves. So
the only question I have with this conversation is that when you guys were looking at this, are you guys basing this on what other communities do in Central Ohio? Do school districts and the city work together with economic development?
Well,
how do other communities, like, you know, communities with strong schools as a foundation, how do they interact with?
I think there's communication between school districts and cities. Tim might be able to answer this better than anybody.
Yeah, right.
But I think we are going to be maybe those setting a standard of having this our committee meet on a regular basis, so we don't allow anything to slip through the cracks or anything along those lines. Do you agree with that?
Oh, absolutely. Again, what I'm sitting here wanting the group to recognize is, you know, we met just a month ago, took almost 1 month of the day, and then we talked about, can we get all this work done in the summertime? And here we are a month later, the committee that this group created came up with a solution that looked maybe a month, you know, 2 months ago, maybe impossible. And so, you know, I was running as a facilitator, the referee of the speed fight we're going to have, and that never happened. The first meeting we had a month ago resulted in the committee came back with an idea that seems to be acceptable. I think the quick answer to your question, though, is that the schools and cities that are working well together have a team approach. You know, they find a way to work with each other. It's not us against them. It's what can we do to improve our community. I think this committee approach, that the fact we're continuing to meet, you know, into the future, shows that both groups, the city and the school group, looking at the various other things in the community, what can we do together to make people want to move here, to expand a business here, to increase the tax base for everybody's benefit, make this a great community. So celebrate that success, and that's really what happened. Without a lot of heartburn. We didn't have heartburn a month ago. Within a few weeks, the committee, we had elected officials and your paid staff working together to figure out what's the best way to solve this problem. Without having some negative headline, I think we're sure of Maggie with that, but he can't win a negative headline right.
Don't challenge him, you know?
He has a hard time figuring out what's the negative. There's no negative. Negative is a taxpayer benefits, city benefits, community benefits, schools benefits. This can be a great place to live and work. That's what this was about. And in a month, 30 days, you did. And some people said it would be impossible. Remember, we had a full audience last time, but now we have Brad's kids. He's the first to show up to listen to you, which is a good thing. That's a positive. We're on the same page. So the turmoil never happened. You know, I didn't have to work very hard at all. So, again, you know, I thank the group for listening to each other. Again, he was listening. Everybody had a different agenda. Everybody had a different thing they wanted to accomplish. Your writing answer was, what's best for the community? What's best for the people who live here? I think we got there pretty quickly. I guess the answer is, yeah, we want to be a place where other people come say, yeah, the Marysville will do that so easily and so quickly and lose this much knowledge. Well, we got along with each other. You didn't have a fight, but you listened well.
Yep.
So, you know, it could be another model for everybody else to come in and say, okay, how did you guys do that? Yeah.
And one of the key words that Diane mentioned was negotiations. I know there was a project previously, the school system had a recommendation. We weren't able to get the company to go to that recommendation, and the school system got frustrated because you felt like we weren't listening. It's a negotiation. Alan and I have been in a few meetings with developers. We try to push the developers as far as we can, but at some point they draw a line in the sand and they say, this is where we're at. And so as long as everybody's on the same page, we're negotiating, we're trying to get as much as we can for the citizens of Marysville, but we still do need the development.
And the flip side of that, JR, is that sometimes the answer is no to the developer.
Yeah, it can be. It can be.
You guys understand, we lost what looked like a great deal. But for that 5% increment, the answer had to be no.
Yep.
And we're going to go beyond what makes sense.
Yep.
And so you'll get criticism for really giving away headquarters or wherever. Oh, yeah, they wanted too much. So we said, thank you. You go to Hilliard. Go someplace else. Yep. We'll give you more than we're willing to give you. Yep.
And I think we already have those situations. It's just nobody knows about them because we don't publicize them. There are a lot of initial discussions where, you know, companies want this, that, or the other, and we're like, no, we don't do that. And they just go somewhere else.
That's the beauty of this continuing committee. There's a recruiter, so you get together, what's on the table, we're offering, and,
yep.
And that gives them a walk away, but
yep.
So if they make a request, it's different because they demand something.
And that, and you just said another word, request. Mm-hmm. When a developer's coming here, when a commercial development's coming here, we don't offer the incentive package. They have to ask for it. Mm-hmm. We don't start with, here's what we're going to give you. We hold that in our...
If they come in with demanding, that falls on bad failures as well.
Yep, yep.
If they're going to ask for something that's reasonable, then you can find a negotiation. Yeah,
exactly.
So anyways, celebrate the process. They got you here a month later.
Yep. The most important thing, too, is by bringing the schools in at the earliest possible time, gives the schools the ability to analyze the impact of a particular development, not only on the impact on the schools themselves, but the impact on the whole community. And what that might have. I think it's helpful rather than coming in later and wondering, where did you start?
Right, or sometimes only having 24 hours to say, you'll be in or out, yeah. And
right.
You don't have time to really give a solid viewpoint.
And I would add one other quick comment. Sometimes there is a need for secrecy. The company says, you know, we put in two or three other sites, we don't have a review of who we are yet. So sometimes, somebody will feel left out, but sometimes even staff can't tell the elected officials who they've been asked not to say anything until a certain date or a certain time. So just appreciate that. But again, the quarterly committees will, these quarterly committee meetings will help shine some light on that. Hey, we're working with a top prospect, can't tell you the name yet, but it's a high tech type of thing or whatever. So at least somebody can understand there's something going on, but I'll tell you as soon as we can tell you.
Usually it's some project name. I mean, we very, very rarely know who it really is. Eric knows.
Yeah, you can guess.
But yeah, we can guess. Yeah.
There was a time we talked before, many years ago, where Marysville was desperate for developer. Mm-hmm. We're not at that point anymore. We can now make better choices because we don't have a desperate.
And again, even a double through that, and what I hate is when the community gets too capped there, and you start thinking that you're bigger mm-hmm. than all the government, and you just say no to everything. So you have to avoid going too far the other way, too. You have to be selective. And some things are not a good fit. Some things you say, you're a better fit to go to Marion, or a better fit to go someplace where your project fits better. But you don't start saying no to everybody. Now, we don't need any more development. That's also the problem. You have to be open to listening to the discussion.
And what I've also gathered from these meetings and discussions is nobody is anti-growth. Mm-hmm. I haven't caught any sense of that. So it's managed growth, is what we're talking about.
Exactly.
It's being selective. It's being what fits in this
right.
community.
It's growing in the right way. And people, as long as I've lived in Marysville, over 50 years, people have said they want to see the development, the growth, pay for the infrastructure, pay for the schools, those kinds of things. And there are certainly
a variety of ways, a variety of tools that are available to achieve that goal. And I like hearing that the school district is going to be involved earlier so that we have an opportunity to see and think and have some input into the process a little bit. And likewise, the idea that the companies are going to have to make an investment in our community beyond just, you know, their development costs. They were going to be looking for them to come in and fit and make our entire community better in some way, benefit the larger community. So, appreciate that. That's...
So more than likely, one of the next things that will occur, not just working on a couple of the recommendations we have now, but we'll probably set another committee meeting up in August, and we'll probably be sitting down with our economic development team and allow the committee to engage the economic development team on how we'd like to approach projects moving forward. So they have a good understanding of how early to bring the schools and the city, and we might even behoove us to include Bill Narducci, the county administrator, in that same meeting. So, because a lot of it may involve accounting as well. So, but we can talk about that, make sure they understand kind of what we want to see moving forward. So that would be probably a logical next meeting topic.
Let me ask a question. I'm glad that we came to this agreement. And part of me is also, when this is the same ask that we did like 7 months ago, that we had some, in my view, we had some agreements too. My fear is that we could have really used this a few months ago, right? Put that aside, there was a year of negotiation before that. How do we not slide back into that state of conflict? Because that's my concern is, we can celebrate today, but as a board member, we have a problem to solve for the community, and that is being more delayed. My fear is that we can celebrate today, but are we gonna be able to keep this momentum, keep this collaboration sustainable for the next 5 years? And that's, how do we not slide backwards?
I think that the key here, Jermaine, is the committee.
I didn't hear any wavering of a commitment from the people at the table, and I know faces can change on council and the board, but I think that will be our job to be able to continue to maintain and keep those meetings running. I think it's the only way, knowing that quarterly is just the framework, but we anticipate there will be things that become urgent that we're going to need to meet more frequently as well. So I think maybe even, you know, maybe each entity considers making a statement of commitment or something like that to these collective meetings, because I think that's how we can maintain. And Mark can now say, well, that's not true. That's not what Sue and Diane said at the table. This is, you know, a fact. And Alan can now say that we didn't have that before.
I'm going to say something too, and Matt, don't take offense. But before, Jermaine, what was happening is, as the city met, you guys were probably finding out our discussions by reading the newspaper. And as you were meeting, we were doing the same thing. We were reading the newspaper. I think it's probably much better for us to get together and say, okay, what do you mean by that thought or something like that, and that did not exist. We didn't have that regular interaction between our boards and our administrations. Now Diane and I did, but it didn't always mean that you guys were involved in some of those discussions. And so I just think it helped bringing representatives from each board onto a committee. I think that's huge. So.
And then to add on top of that, I think not only the committees, but I think each and every one of us has an obligation to some, you know, making sure we're all staying on each other's toes to ensure that what we're doing is moving forward. So to your point, I think, you know, there's every single one of us that's around this table.
I do. I mean, because we had a couple discussions where there were different perceptions of information that had been shared, you know, and just, again, like having that face-to-face ability to talk through that, you know, and at the end of the day, you kind of remind everybody that we all have the same goals here, you know, so I think that's a good step, and I know, Jermaine, you know, a lot of times I think it is important to have elected officials as part of it, you know. So I think that's been helpful just to make sure that we all hear, hopefully, the same thing.
Yeah. I'd like to also say that, I mean, hopefully this opens the communication lines, because in the past, you know, we've talked about, you know, this has this impact on the school finance. I've only had one council member ever ask me what the impact financially on anything was for the school. So, I mean, hopefully this will open things up to where, I mean, if there is a question, the school is saying, here's the impact to the school. Well, if there's a disagreement or a question or clarification, you know, I'm always open.
And the vice versa, you know, when it comes to the incentives, we have to be able to explain to voters why it's important without that conversation. You know, like the other flip side is,
yep,
voters are going to come to us, why are you letting these debates popular tips happen? We have to have a good reason to go, you know, to tell them. And I think we're all on the same page and have that good reason. Mm-hmm. We can increase the trust in the community.
Yep.
Yeah.
Totally agree. Well, and maybe it goes back to Mark's point that, you know, as a city, having our own direct communication. Mark has been opponent of, since we have a communications director, having our own line of communication through our social media pages to recap on city council meetings, recap on different things city's doing, so that, you know, things are coming directly from us. So, you know, to better educate the voter, mm-hmm, you know, and those are different items that, you know, council as a whole, you know, can start doing, make, you know, in the future. So, anyway.
One of the tough things that might be difficult to separate, as it relates to the community as a whole, is residential TIFs versus residential.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. When they hear the word TIF, they're always going to work together.
Yep.
So that might be a tough one. Part of what you're getting, you're kind of tough to work. Our constituents about TIFs, mm-hmm, because they'll just merge together, because they'll hear about it with commercial.
Mm-hmm.
But they won't hear about it for residential. You know, there's going to be that rare occasion when there's a blighted situation or some urgency that a TIF's needed, but it's going to be so rare. So the separation of those two might continue an issue relative to the general public.
The vibe of the committee is that, because sometimes I watch the council meetings, or sometimes I can attend in person. You know, here the schools have agreed to this. That agreement was based off of the EDA that was signed years ago. But the committee could be maybe an agreement from that committee in the school that's truly an updated, fresh, the schools agreed to this. And then, you know, that's something. My question, I guess, is when there's a difference of opinions in the committee, how are you guys going to navigate? Because there are going to be differences of opinion. So what's the path forward to mediating those differences?
I think we've already worked through two meetings where I don't think we were all solid on the same page going in. I think there was some compromise involved in our meetings already. I think that's the key factor is understanding the impact from the city, understanding the school's impact, and vice versa, understanding the overall benefit to the community on certain events. So, Jermaine, it's not going to be a committee that just always
agrees on,
you know, agrees moving forward. But hopefully, yeah, we can always get to compromise, and that's the important.
I would say too. I feel like there was a collective commitment to kind of a tone of trust and decency. Like, it, while we didn't agree, it wasn't like, oh, Alan, you know, you're this horrible individual, right? There was a, let me ask you a few clarifying questions. One easy one would be like the definition of TIF and abatement, right? And the impact on the backside is the same to a school district, whatever the name is. But definitely from a city perspective, I understand your need for specific clarity. But sometimes those names get interchanged on our side because the impact is the same. Does that make sense? Like our, so we even kind of talked through that. Well, even though the impact is the same, we should probably be a little more clear because we probably could create a little bit of confusion in that conversation unintentionally. So I would say those are the, I mean, that's not bringing a company to a table, but that would be an example on how we kind of pushed each other's thinking on those types of topics. So,
right. You're on
it. Just another clarifying point. So, are we also now in agreement or understanding that 27% of our student population is coming out of the TIF areas, current TIF residential areas? That's been a kind of a point of
27%. And I often say almost 30, so 27% come from residential areas.
Okay, so I
just,
are we agreeing on that?
I think we still have some question on that, but I don't think it's a big enough issue to bog us down.
Okay.
You know, I just think it's not as important. I mean, we had some discussions in this area.
And the reality is that number changes, potentially changes every single day.
Yeah.
As new houses are built, as people move, you know, I mean, so it's a moving target, but as of a certain point in time, using the information that we have, it was 27%.
You said the hurdle, it's important that it's a number that creates students, which is a great thing. So it should be talking about saying, well, does it matter? Or we don't have to care about the number. I hear against communism. It's a number that, especially if it's bigger, then it's important that that's why it's, that's what we're having these meetings. So, you know, so I think we all have to be careful with that. What we say and what we hear. Mm-hmm. And if there's a question, do it and say, hey, is it still important? Would you clarify that? Because I know what you meant. It's not big enough to slow down this discussion, but for them, it's a number that creates students. And they don't
know.
Keep the residential tests.
It's
50%, then it's devastating.
Yeah, the residential TIF concept is not anything council's interested in. I mean, they're just not interested in doing anything.
So it's going to be smaller no matter what.
But I don't want to confuse anybody. There are mixed-use developments that will probably come in the future that will have a residential component in it with commercial components.
We don't have to answer this question. Like, but I'm just saying, you know, that's why I talked about what other communities are doing this, because as we know, Columbus, I mean, cities are investing in, you know, like Columbus is rebuilding itself, right? I mean, they're rebuilding everything they ever demolished. So there's huge amounts of residential tips right now in the city of Columbus. I mean, unbelievable the development that they've been able to create because of these tips. So I'm always curious to know, not being in those meetings with the Columbus School Board, the city, like, and, you know, Andrew Ginther, like, how in the world are these cities and these schools being impacted? Because you hear about residential TIFs coming out of Columbus, like, every day. And, you know, so it's very, that's why I was just, it's very interesting to know how these other communities
do. We're sure talking about the mixed use.
Yeah.
The city would be, of course, happens.
Right.
The residential and the commercial tax base. Right.
And what's that happy medium? Because obviously Columbus, I mean, you know, Michael Coleman was such a great mayor by bringing the jobs and the infrastructure. now they're invested in their people and, you know, with everything with that. So, you know, there is that happy medium, but it is interesting.
So there's an opportunity in a lot of communities, Columbus, Dublin, several other areas do non-school tips. So the schools are held harmless in the equation. And we did have some conversation briefly last meeting about that. And there are also lots of times just a compensation agreement so, as a part of that. So maybe it's not necessarily non-school, but the city makes a payment to the school district that offsets that. So there are different, I guess, ways communities handle it. But I think the key is, in a lot of those, to Terry's point, a lot of those communities that are thriving, they're at the table together early talking about what that would look like and how it would be beneficial to both.
Thank you. Yeah, I mentioned, and you raised a couple of possibilities in terms of the different tools that can be used. We typically in Marysville have been, from my perspective, maybe a limited number of tools that have been used. And so if we can broaden that and keep, you know, the school needs the city to thrive. The city needs the school to thrive. And there needs to be a way that the development, one way or another, how it comes in helps to ensure that both of those things happen.
I'll make one quick comment and I spin off things. When I was in Dublin, the quality services group worked really hard on making Dublin a good city. Whenever we surveyed new residents, why they moved Dublin, it wasn't for city, it was for the schools. So we understood pretty early that we needed the schools to be strong, as well as the city to be strong. So it was, like I say, mostly people who moved to Kansas schools, not city services.
I mean, the Dragon, like, the reasons why you move to a city is because of your schools. I mean, that has always been the foundation of your community, is your education. And people will question that, but the reality is you move to an area because of the school.
And I think Terry and his team, that he works with his council, they understand that as well.
Yes, sir. Okay. I'd still like to take it, if possible, one step further, yeah, and to piggyback on what Todd, as well as Dick mentioned, yeah, I've been a council for 14 years. So the first 12 years, there was a lot of harmony, if you will. Yeah, the city of Marysville work population increased by about 250 per year. Yeah, and if you look around, where did those jobs go to? Memorial went from 500 to now more than 1,000. The Honda dealership, they increased. City of Marysville, we now have 40, 50 more people. So we did about a number of 250 per year, and we built 250 homes. Yeah, so that all worked out well. And then we started to build a greater number of homes, and that's where there came a bit of a separation. And again, as Todd mentioned, maybe one of your future discussions can be, because even as council, we struggle with it. And it's been fairly consistent, 5-2, yeah, where 5 members said we have to increase, and 2 members felt that we have to slow it down a little bit. Unfortunately, as a city, yeah, what we find is that the 2010 census, we had about 2,500 people 65 and over, okay? 2020, that number almost increased to 5,000. So again, you're looking at 0 to 20, no income to the city, but a big liability to the school. Then from 20 to 60, 65, that's where the city gets its money. And then again, 65 and over, yeah, that takes money out because we have to provide those services. And about 80% of our services go to that segment of the population. Yeah, 80% of the runs that we need to make goes to that population. So we had no choice but to try to keep the 20 to 65 in balance. But then again, that means that you're going to add more people to the to our population. They have children, so they go to the school, becomes a bigger liability. So if in the next time that the group gets together, maybe come up with some recommendation that may help us as council and say, this is a good number to work with. Yeah, instead of at the moment, between at least the two developments that they are working on, which is one of them is across Bunsold and the other one is across Mill Valley, yeah, that's roughly about 600 homes. Yeah, we have the former Kroger site that they're going to be working on. Yeah, that's going to be apartments. So we have a number of dwellings, but not as many students. Yeah, the number has always been 80 students per 100 single family homes and 20 students per apartments. And again, as Terry and I discussed many times, if the apartments are single, one bedroom, you're going to get fewer than when you have two or even three bedrooms, because that's when you invite your families to come in. But any of those things in your next discussions, yeah, that you can maybe help give council some guidelines and say this is a healthy way to grow the city, but from a city perspective, we have to look at that three segments in our population. Does that make sense?
Yeah, one of the things I think is important to understand when you talk about, if you look at two developments going on right now, primarily single family housing, those developments take oftentimes 5, 6, 7 years to build out, mm-hmm. in the amount that you're talking about, the number of homes. And it's still, when you break it out over the number of years, they're only building probably in those developments maybe 40 to 50 homes a year within those developments.
Okay.
That's what they can accomplish per year. So it's, we still have to understand that more housing is going to be important. I think Diane gave me an example just yesterday where you had a teacher.
We tried to hire a first year teacher at one of our elementary buildings, and she wanted to live in the community that she was serving. That sure. was really important. And she couldn't afford it. She mm-hmm. could never find a place she could afford on a first year mm-hmm. teacher's salary. And just getting out of college, she tried different avenues, wait lists, et cetera, and ended up having to turn down our job. We thought she was a super high quality teacher to go to a community where she could do that. So I think we understand, that was probably we were calling people and saying, do you have a rent? I mean, a rental available, and it was still within a range that was not affordable. So I think we understand that as well. Yeah.
Supply and demand.
Exactly, right, exactly.
Not only is it supply and demand, yeah, but most of us that are in the 50 and over, let's be polite, yeah, where did you start?
Yep.
Yeah, where did you start? Because I know in right. Donald's ward, there are plenty of dwellings, but people don't want to go in there. Yeah? They want to start where their parents are currently. And it took us 30, 40 years to get to where we are. And the mentality that we have today, this particular teacher wants to start as a newbie, yeah, where the parents left off. And people have to realize, yeah, that all of us, yeah, have gone through 40 years, yeah, and I know people that had to take two or three jobs to get to where they finally now, at the age of 50, yeah, have something to show for. So again, we have to look at that as well, Diane, yeah, that we have a mentality out there that this is where my parents are, yeah. I have X number of square feet, I have 2-3 bedrooms, because there are still many, but they will take a lot of work. Yeah, and for a lot of people, that's not what they're willing to do anymore.
Sam, I'm not sure there are many, but, you know, like
they're just not for sale.
You talk to realtors and they're like, we don't have too many. And the only, I did want to make another comment with an accounting background when you talked about the additional liabilities. Please don't call students liabilities, okay? No.
Okay.
Just wanted to clarify that. You know.
They stand corrected.
Yeah.
They stand corrected.
I mean, I hear what you're saying. Yeah. In my personal opinion, that was not the case with this teacher. She was willing to live in an apartment.
Yeah.
They're not available.
The apartment.
Yeah, all over 1,000. Yeah.
On and on. And then what was open was way beyond what she knew she could afford. So that was, it was more my point, I think, was creating affordable housing for situations like that. And to me, that's how teachers used to be. Everyone wanted to live where they served, and it's not as common sometimes anymore. So that was a win in my mind. So
And we've heard from the developer, too. I know we've been to a couple of those speaker series. And then just the reality that, you know, everybody says they want affordable housing, but the cost to build a house now is just kind of pricing people out, even at the low end.
Yes,
you know, so it's just a
isn't going down.
Yeah,
no,
it's a big challenge.
Okay,
so right.
So the housing prices are always going to
be
an issue.
Yeah, I want to bring up a point on a different kind of a different topic, but over the last year, in various discussions, I've been receiving the agendas and minutes from the Planning Commission, the Design Review Board, and so forth, which has been helpful to me to kind of keep awareness of what's going on in the community, and that's been very helpful. And so as a committee, or as a city, or maybe more so now as a school district, are there reports, are there documents that we should share with City Council to kind of, you know, give them some information, some insight on where we are and operating? Because, as you mentioned, you said you haven't had members of council contacting you to get information, but is there information you have that members of council, not that they're going to act on it or that it makes a direct impact on the city, but just kind of awareness of here's what's going on in the school center, the school system.
You know, are there things we wrap up? That's the idea of the committee.
Yeah.
So you're both there with appointed elected officials 4 times a year at least, sharing whatever the question, whatever the headline was, created a question.
Yeah.
Here's that document, here's the map. It's 35% higher level, whatever. So you have that interchange throughout the whole year.
Yeah, and to me, it's just making sure that the information is disseminated among all of the members. Because sometimes we can, you know, committees can get kind of compartmentalized, and they're sharing information within the committee, and there may be others just from what we're talking about, what's going on. First thing that pops to my mind is the 5-year forecast presentation that you give us that lays out where the school district is and what we expect to have happen. And to me, where you talk about the risks to that future, what your assumptions are, and so forth, becomes, you know, for me as a board member, very important. But that might be something that members of City Council would like to at least have the opportunity.
But I would think the connection would be whatever school board member is the liaison, report back that they weren't committed back to the school board, and City Council rep would do the same thing.
Yeah.
The things that are important, things that are changes, things that are different, things where you reach agreement. The same city manager report, you had a committee report at least once a month at the council meeting and with the school board. So I think with that said, any other burning issues that maybe we wrap up?
What's one? I have, after Jermaine.
Okay, so back to the residential incentive agreed compensation agreement. What's that timeline? It sounds like, unless there needs to be another meeting separately, but it sounds like there's some agreements. What is that timeline to make that agreement
I would like to think that, you know, I know, I would say this, Tim Oslamir, our law director, would be very involved in putting that language together, and he happens to be on vacation next week. So I would hope that maybe we could have something in place by the end of the month of August.
Okay.
That could be distributed, but we just need probably
about
a month to do it.
A month, okay. Yeah. Thank you.
Well, would we need three readings on that? Because could be considered.
Yeah. But the process will start.
Yeah.
Well, last night the board made a decision not to go on in November.
Yeah.
So the urgency wouldn't be for November, but it would certainly be laying the platform for the next steps, which will most likely be.
The only thing I wanted to say is that, you know, I mean, the future does concern me with, you know, not only education here in the community, but our city in general. Marysville caters to, in my personal opinion, two demographics, first-time home buyers, and we also cater to retirees. And that's more importantly because of our tax, property taxes here are cheaper than anywhere else in Central Ohio. And we know that. We're cheaper than Hilliard, Westerville, Worthington, Upper Arlington, Dublin. I mean, we're cheaper, and we cater to those two demographics. And I am worried about when you cater to two demographics like that, it's going to be hard to get more funding out of these individuals. And you know, that's why it's more important that we have to grow big jobs, because when I see developments coming to town, I don't see, in a lot of development we're building, I don't see good jobs. And when you don't have good jobs with good wages, then you have more people advocating for the needs of quote unquote affordability. And the reality is, I mean, nobody can really break down the word affordability, because each and every person has a different degree with a different salary. It's a whitewashed word that not only affects Marysville, but the globe, as we all know. The other thing that scares me about the schools is that with Marysville City Schools, and anybody can correct me if I'm wrong, but we as a community, we have, it seems like from the outside, you have a new teachers coming in to the workforce in Marysville, and then after a couple years, I'm not saying that this happened every time, but then they go to Dublin or they go to Westerville, you know, because the money's there. But this is a national issue with student loan debt, and people just can't afford to come out of school, be a teacher with 60,000 plus in debt, and then starting out pay at 55,000 or whatever it is. It's not practical.
They wish it was that, right?
Yeah, 45,000. I mean, so when we talk about affordability and finding teachers housing, it's very alarming, because I don't know what more we can do as a city, because at the end of the day, no one's going to sit here and say that we can't keep the city functioning on our budgets the way we're functioning now. So I don't know what else, as a council member, I can possibly do, because like Hank said, there's houses in my ward that are selling for $85,000. But sadly, people with higher educations don't want to live in an area where houses are falling down, right? You go to a lot of the subdivisions that have been built in 30 years, where rental, you have a ton of now corporate housing being bought up, charging $2,400 a month for a house. I mean, the values of some of these homes are now so cheap that corporate housing is now coming in and buying them up, and it's making it unaffordable, not because of the city of Marysville, but because of the way these neighborhoods have been built. So I'm always stressed and concerned about like the future of this community, and how are we going to, we have to eventually start making real concrete goals of how we're going to handle these things. And, you know, so the next 10 to 20 years is going to be rough, and I think we all know that. But so those are just my concerns. I don't think they're answered, but I don't think the questions can be answered. I'm just saying that's what scares me, you know, about us moving forward.
Anything else? And I would just part of saying celebrate the success. You made the HUD appropriate for 30 days. Next 30 days, next 60 days, you got it.
And one thing that we may want to talk about is I will be probably sending something out on some possible dates for the committee to meet again in August. But also we said, you might want to think a little bit about too, we probably need to come up with the name of this committee, just so we just don't keep calling it the
small group committee.
Small group committee. So be thinking about that SGC. And if anybody has any ideas.
Later in August,
we could be maybe later.
And again, I would suggest words like community, partnership, union, something where it recognizes that you join together and have a common purpose. I'm going to get back to my headline to say that this group is going to gather again in 30 days. That material that I need to do is come up with something that shows that you can be some progress.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, thanks for your time.
Thank you very much.
Well, before we close the city council meeting, this is still a meeting, and
right.
We have that as well. Mm-hmm. I would like to, on behalf of council, share our thanks and appreciation for the group to get together, Tim, for coming out and help make this work. Because if we look now a month later, and the progress that's been made, in my opinion, it's commendable. Yeah, we've had the opportunity to sit around the table, be level-headed, put everything out there, concerns that the school has, concerns that the city have, and we all know that we need to work together, but appreciate the time of all of the committee members that worked on this. And again, on behalf of City Council, thanks for continue to lead us moving forward in a collaborative manner. So.
And it needs to be emphasized that Tim did this on his own time. No cost to either one of the entities. He was interested in helping. He values this community. And I just think we owe him a thank you.
Ditto, yes, I will just second your comments. Sorry.
And I remember Michelle Crandall was city failure also last year.
Right.
And she would have been there today if needed, but I said, you know, I think the group's getting along fine. I think one of us can handle it. So I obviously consider her thanks as well.
Thank you both. Thank you all. With that, I would accept a motion to adjourn. Mr. Ferguson? Okay. Motion by Mr. Smith, second by Mr. Ferguson. Roll call.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Ferguson?
Yes.
Mr. Peck?
Yes.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Okay. I make a motion to adjourn city council session.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
All right, you make it simple.
It's perfect timing.